reason the 4,000 square mile island of Hawaii is fondly dubbed the Big Island is because it's the size of Connecticut. It's so big all the other Hawaiian islands would fit within the bounds of the island. The current volcanic activity has severely impacted the island economy due to substantial cancellations by vacationers. But there are major resort destinations far from the adverse effects of the lava flows and the attendant air pollution. For example, the Kohala Coast, with a large enclave of homes, condos, and resorts, is situated approximately 100 miles from the East Rift Zone. Come along and join the conversation with three islanders as they share their thoughts about the positive aspects of island life today. Simon Amos is the hotel manager at the Hilton Waikoloa Village.
It's a very, very small, isolated part of the island where it's happening. There are a fair amount of homes that have been impacted down there.
Vicky Komatani works at the historic Mauna Kea Resort in the heart of the Kohala Coast.
It's amazing how few people understand the geography of this island.
And Laura Aquino joins us with Island Events based in Kona.
Sadly, Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, which is the number one or number two attraction in the entire state next to Pearl Harbor, is in fact closed, but their Kahuku unit, as it's called, is open.
Unfortunately, many local businesses island-wide are experiencing a downturn, and some workers have had their hours cut back or they've been laid off due to the decrease in tourism. International news reports have been surgically focused on Kilauea Volcano's East Rift Zone volcanic eruptions and the attendant seismic activity, leaving many people with the false impression that the entire island is a disaster zone. Paradoxically, Volcanoes National Park has been the island's number one tourist draw for decades. Actually, 150 years ago, 31-year-old Mark Twain put the island's volcanism on the world map when he came to the island specifically to experience and write about volcanic activity as a correspondent of the Sacramento Union newspaper in 1866. Helicopter flight scene companies such as Paradise Helicopters have been doing a land office business with tourists and locals alike who sign up for overflights of the volcano. Adventurous tourists and locals are also hopeful that a viewing platform will soon open for close-up observation of the lava flows. Volcanism and its attendant fog, volcanic fog, have been a relatively non-stop part of island life for more than 30 years, and fog is definitely an issue in the Kona Kailua area. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. We're here with Simon Amos, who is the hotel manager at the Hilton Waikoloa Village. Right now on the Big Island of Hawaii, it's a very fascinating time because, 90 miles away, you have a volcano that's erupting and making world news.
Right.
And kind of a backfire in a way that some people think the whole island is affected, and yet it really isn't when you get the other side of the island.
Right, it's a very, very small, isolated part of the island where it's happening. There are a fair amount of homes that have been impacted down there that is a shame, and I hope, you know, we can help those people as much as we can. But, you know, just first-hand experience, I was there a couple of days ago. We stayed at the Doubletree Naniloa in Hilo, one of our newer properties, the other side of the island. It was beautiful blue sky, the kids were swimming in the pool, and then at night you could see this most spectacular glow in the distance about 6 miles away, which of course was Fisher number 8. You can't really get near to any of that area, and it's advised not to try, but just to go to the other side of the island and drive around and witness that glow when it's cloudy illuminates the sky was phenomenal. And then of course, if you can, then there's lava boat tours that will actually take you from Hilo and actually sail in front of the lava that's pouring into the ocean. So it's quite spectacular. And what we're hoping that now that things are starting to settle down, it's come off of the world news. The sensationalism has sort of moved away. The lava flow is still a heavy output, but it's very, very localized. It's only Fisher number 8 that I believe is pouring out a lot of lava still. But it's going directly into the ocean. Unfortunately, it took out Kapoho Bay, which was one of our favourite places to go. What the island now is looking at is how do we start to turn this into a positive? We've had a lot of people asking us, how can we go and view the lava? How can we go and see it?
Well, I have heard from locals that good luck booking a helicopter tour right now. You better plan it way ahead.
Right. We have, there's a couple of helicopter companies that are very good. Paradise Helicopters seem to be the ones that go the closest. But we went up in a helicopter a couple of weeks ago to have a look at it. And we flew over the top of Fisher Number 8 as it was exploding. And it's breathtaking. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's you're witnessing Earth being created.
I'm just imagining that for each person who would be canceling a reservation out of fear, you've got two that are signing up to go see a unique experience.
I think if you're now, if you come, the only ways to really see the lava safely is one by helicopter, where you can get very close, or by boat, which is, you know, it's quite it's
is
quite
the boat tour on your list.
I would like to do the boat. It's quite expensive to do the boat, though. I saw it yesterday. It was about $250 to go and view the lava. What I hear is that you know, there's a lot of government people and organisations, you know, talking at the moment. How can they build a viewing platform that is safe, that is, you know, doesn't block roads? So I know that they're looking at that now.
That would be really cool.
That would be
fun. Yeah,
you could literally pull up,
drive your car up,
or a bus could drive up, you get out, you could view it from a distance safely, get photos, because from what I understand, it doesn't look like the Hawaii Volcano National Park is going to open for quite some time. I understand the Jagger Museum has sustained very bad damage.
What was the damage?
Cracks in the floor because of
the earthquake, the seismic.
And earthquakes that happened over there. The damage is, the roads are cracked, the car parks are cracked, the Kilauea vent is, you know, collapsing. We were in Hilo for 36 hours and we didn't, although there were earthquakes over there, we didn't feel any. I think it's all very centered around the is it Halemaumau crater and Kilauea crater. I think if they can successfully build a viewing platform, then I think we will see a more of an interest of people starting to come back, especially our Far East market. The Hawaii Volcanoes National Park is the number two tourist attraction in Hawaii after Pearl Harbor, and of course, you know, when you shut that down and people can't access it, then that has a big impact. So our Far East guests are now really the ones saying, hey, you know, what are you doing about us? We'll come and stay, but where can we go and view the lava flows safely?
Vicky Komatani, a longtime resident of the island of Hawaii.
Aloha. Welcome, Tom. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons I flew over has everything to do about island of Hawaii today. It's daily in international news headlines, and it's sadly focused specifically with good reason on the volcanic eruption and disruption of life on part of the island.
Thank you for specifying the word part. That's really a key word that, you know, it's amazing how few people understand the geography of this island. And understandably, I mean, we're part of 8 major islands. When normally people think islands, you think small. And the Big Island is anything but 4,028 square miles, the size of Connecticut, for heaven's sakes. It's a big island.
And wasn't it you that posted on Instagram the photo of all the Hawaiian islands fitting on the Big Island of Hawaii?
I probably did. I mean, I think we are constantly struggling to share a geography lesson with the world because we're a speck in the middle of the Pacific. This island is huge.
It really is. It's so big that it's daunting. People go, oh, did you drive around the island? And you go, well, not in one day.
I mean, you could.
Yeah,
if you didn't,
but it'd be a full day drive.
You would definitely be exhausted. It's not like being on the mainland where you certainly can drive for days and hours and never stop. Eventually, you would go in a circle here, but it would be an exhausting thing to do.
Okay, so right now, we're along the Kahala Coast, right?
That is correct. So we are on the Kohala Coast, and we are at the farthest north tip end of that coast.
Okay. And so just to get to the Kailua Kona Airport is 30 miles?
27 to be exact.
27. But then beyond there, it's another 30 or 40 or 50 to get to where the beginning of the volcanic eruptions are, correct?
Oh, it's much further than that. Okay. It's more like, I think from South Kona, you still have 90 miles to go.
All right. So from here, we're talking... 100.
Well over 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, well over 100 miles.
But yet, when those watching the television or seeing or reading the reports, they, and I've even read headlines and reports that if you didn't know better, they're saying that the entire island is this lava flow.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it certainly is a story, and there is no doubt about it. It is the creation of the Earth. It's fascinating. It's hard to take your eyes away from watching it, but I think the reality is we have lived with active volcanoes here most recently for the past 35 years. Kilauea has been erupting since 1983. This is not news to us. The volcanoes here have been erupting for thousands of years when people have been living here on the island. So it is so ingrained culturally here in the island. It is an important part of everyday life. The reality of Madame Pele to many, many people who live here cannot be ignored or understated. So I think when you put all of that together, the reality is it is a news item, no doubt, but it is news primarily because this current eruption unfortunately happened in the middle of a subdivision and really impacted people's lives.
And not to offend anybody, but I mean, my family still has an acre in Captain Cook, so I know the territory.
Right.
And those who built in that area knew or should have known that this was a risk they were taking. It wasn't this, oh my God, I had no clue that could ever happen, right?
There have been a few that said that, which I'm a little baffled by, because there's absolutely a reason that it's so affordable, which is why so many people did, in fact, build their homes there. But I think 90%+ of them deep down always knew they were on borrowed time.
Yeah. And just who knew whether it was 30, 60, or 100 years or tomorrow, and it happened.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. You know, you can't predict volcanoes. I'm sure up at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, it's swarming with scientists who are just thrilled at this opportunity to study what is going on and learn what they can, but prediction is not something that they're good at.
But again, because of the press, I've read through you and different media reports that reservations on the island of Hawaii overall are up to 50% down. A lot of people have canceled reservations at hotels in areas where it's way beyond, it's not affected, but they don't know. If I didn't follow you on Instagram, I wouldn't quite get it. But you post these pictures. You're involved at the Mauna Kea Resort, and you post these, oh my God, daily sunset shots with blue skies.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the most critical proof. And that was a game changer in my mind. I knew, but you brought it home for me visually, that here you are on the island of Hawaii and blue skies.
Yeah, and I mean, all we can do is try to keep posting those pictures, because we are fighting an uphill battle with a lot of misinformation that's out there. Volcanic haze, or VOG as we call it here, is real. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen. It does. We rely entirely on the trade winds, and as long as our trade winds are happening, we have beautiful blue skies. Doubling up on that is the fact that, again, we are as far north on the Kohala Coast as you can get and still be at a resort. So even more so, we're further from the possibility of VOG.
Yeah, but you're the furthest possibility.
Exactly.
The end of the road.
The end of the road, pretty much. Yeah. So we're fortunate in that way. But, and you know, it comes and goes. There's some days that are worse than others. But I think what is really interesting, if you were to take a look at some of the monitors, the air quality monitors, and unfortunately there's two different systems that are apples and oranges, but if you look at Mexico City, Los Angeles, Beijing, exactly, Chicago, yeah, and you compare it to Kona on most days, mm-hmm, you'll be shocked that Kona is not anywhere close to some of those major cities.
And in those cities, Shanghai and whatnot, every day, 24/7, they live with that.
Right, yeah, exactly. And, you know, when I put my PR hat on, I like to say that the difference between fog and smog is, you know, volcanic haze is organic. Right?
Naturally
it's created
occurring
by Mother Nature, not by man.
Organic pollution, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's much, much better. It sounds good anyway.
I know. So very fascinating. But yet you do have, I mean, here we are at a resort right on the Kahala Coast. And there are people staying here and people coming. So some people get it. Why do those who get it get it?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons behind that. We're fortunate here at Mauna Kea Resort to have a lot of return guests. Mm-hmm. So they've been here before. They know where the hotel is, number one. Number two, they understand the geography of the island. I think, quite frankly, we're still in a little bit of a sweetheart period where some people could not cancel. It was too close. Mm-hmm. Had they considered canceling, you know, the air and all of that, it's like, well, we just have to go.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they're here going, wow, there's nothing wrong. What's wrong with everybody else that thought they shouldn't come, you know? But I think long term, we're seeing the pace drop off. And that's the concern, because we have to have a pace that tells us come September and November and next January, that we'll still have that steady stream of visitors. And that's where we have concerns, is that people are waiting because they think that there is a problem.
You're not sure whether it's going to get better or worse or what?
Well, they're not.
Is that unknown?
It is an unknown. It has definitely leveled off. The civil defense alerts that were coming hourly are now coming daily, and they are very, very repetitious, because it was just fissure aid is flowing, fissure aid is flowing, fissure aid is flowing. There haven't been any additional structures taken. Nothing has changed, really. So I think, you know, again, prediction is impossible. We don't know. It could stop tomorrow. And I got to tell you, for people who were hesitating and thinking, you know, we'd love to see the volcano, but we're not going to come, you're going to really regret not coming, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get in a helicopter and fly over this thing and see what's going on. It is unbelievable. And it could stop tomorrow, right, so you could miss your chance.
And so that's the other side of the coin. There are those who are actually attracted to the island because of the fascinating, unique geological event that's going on right now.
Yeah, 100%. And I think there probably are people booking. You know, sadly, Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, which is the number one or number two attraction in the entire state next to Pearl Harbor, is in fact closed, but their Kahuku unit, as it's called, is open. It's not a Volcanoes National Park, but it is still an amazing attraction to be able to visit. They don't know when Volcanoes National Park will open again, but again, there are opportunity via the lava boat tours, and there are only four that are authorized, by the way, so don't jump on some unauthorized boat to do that. And then certainly helicopters.
I bet the helicopter companies are just sell out every day, packed.
Packed every day. So if you are wanting to do that and it's on your bucket list, definitely book in advance. The state and the county are in conversation. Yesterday there was a meeting about building a viewing area somewhere. I think they're just kind of making sure not only where that would be and how it would look, but parking and operation of that, and, you know, safety concerns, things like that, air quality in that close proximity, how that would work. But I do think that is something that will be happening in the near term.
It's a whole new tourist draw.
Exactly. You know, and for all the right reasons. I mean, it really is a once in a lifetime, and nowhere else in the world do you have a volcano like we have here and have always had here, where you can literally drive up and look at. It just doesn't exist anywhere else.
And advocating for the traveler, for the savvy traveler, would this be economically a good time to make a reservation? Has there been aggressive rate adjustments to attract people?
I can't speak for other hotels and what they're doing. I know that for Mauna Kea Resort, for both Mauna Kea Beach Hotel and the Westin Hapuna Beach Resort, there are certainly always special offers out there. And again, as we monitor the pace and what's happening, those adjustments will be made if necessary. But I always encourage people to look on the individual hotel websites and see what the offers are, because there are always offers.
Right. Vicki, we're just about out of time, but before we go, again, this is such a big island, the island of Hawaii, that you could spend weeks here, and there's more to do than just volcano watching.
Thank you for that great segue into an opportunity to talk about, yes, so much more to do. I mean, there's zip lining, there is amazing hiking, ocean sports, you know, deep sea fishing and snorkeling and diving, and those kind of things are obviously available. Stargazing on top of Mauna Kea is, again, a bucket list opportunity. So, yeah, there is the volcano and so very much more that anyone who's looking for an amazing place to vacation, don't wait.
And you can even ski on the big island of Hawaii.
You can sometimes. I don't really recommend it because it's not like you've got a ski lift to take you up and, you know, yeah.
But you could trudge up and ski on down or toboggan or, yeah.
If you wanted to ski and then snorkel in all in one day, you can do that mostly in the winter. There can be snow on Mauna Kea between November and April, depending on what the most recent storm is that's moved through. So it is possible.
Vicki Kamatani on the island of Hawaii, thank you so much for sharing.
Mahalo, Tom. We appreciate all you do.
Laura Aquino, she works with Current Events, so she's always current. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Tom.
You've lived here for a long time.
I grew up here. I'm so lucky. We came here when I was a small girl. I won't tell you how long. Yep, I've been fortunate enough to stay here, raise here, grow up here, raise my gear, have a great career in this beautiful, telling people like yourself this beautiful story of our island.
Well, as you know, I've been coming here for a long time and had land on the other end over by Hilo. And I love the big island. I love this place. It's very, very special. It's almost too big, though. It really is.
I can tell you that growing up here, having not spent any time on the east side of the island, we're like, wait, that's too far. We're not going to drive 2 hours. That's way too far.
And that's 2 hours one way.
Yeah. So that's how we grew up here, thinking that all of the other places here on the island were too far to drive.
Might as well have been another island.
Exactly.
But things have changed. I know since they opened the Saddle Road, it's quicker and easier to get over to Hilo from Kailua Kona.
With my professional life now, I spend a lot of time back and forth. We love Saddle Road and are forever grateful for the great road that it is.
Yeah. And I remember, 10, 15 years ago, rental cars were forbidden from driving that road.
Yeah, yeah, they were forbidden. But now it's a beautiful highway. Yeah. It really has connected both the east and the west side of the islands together. I go over there at least 2 or 3 times a week for work. Beautiful between the two big mountains that we have, Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa. Yep. Absolutely beautiful drive.
For me, you know, as you know, I now live on the west coast of California, and yet I try to keep up with Hawaii and subscribe to some local news feeds and whatnot. And every day there's some national, international news about the volcanic eruptions and loss of homes and whatnot, and that's all you hear. And you hear these wrong reports. I remember a headline alluding that lava flow was covering the whole island, you know, and it's like, really? Because I know locals, and we exchange emails or whatever, and they're going, no, sun's shining here. It's not. The Mauna Kea is, 90 miles or 100 miles from the volcanic area?
And you know, Tom, the volcano eruption, don't get us wrong, it is a little bit devastating, but at the same time, it's so awe-inspiring, and it's in such a small section of the island. How lucky for us that we can have an active volcano, but still have a beautiful coast here in Kona. Mm-hmm. I just think that everybody needs to do some homework.
Yeah, a lot. Well, and it's like at the Mauna Kea and Hapuna and up that way at Kahala Coast, I spent the last 2-3 days up that way, and it's blue skies. very, very different.
We are still sun, surf, and fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't change. Yeah. And I, it's actually a good time to come here now. Come. Like, there's, you know, few people, and mm-hmm. summer is a little bit quieter than it normally is, and it's a good time to come.
Yeah. I've been talking to some locals in the hospitality industry in the last couple of days, and one of the things that I didn't really put together is for every person that is scared away because of misperception, there's another tourist coming here intentionally to book a helicopter ride. And then they're talking about creating a viewing platform to watch the volcanic activity. And as you know, a lot of the Japanese tourists come here because they love nature and the volcanic experience. And so I see this whole thing happening right now is a bunch of inbound tourists who want to come and want to experience this incredible moment geologically.
Well, and don't forget, Tom, that the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and that volcanic experience has been the number one visitor attraction in the state for decades now because of that volcano flow. Yeah. I, as somebody that lives here, I'm reading the newspaper every day, waiting for the actual green light to be able to go down and see that as a spectator. I think it's going to be amazing.
It'll be huge.
What I hear from those that travel up to the Mauna Kea Visitor Information Station about the 9,000 feet of Mauna Kea, that you can look across that enormous span of our island and see that red glow off into the distance. It's about as awesome as a sunset gets, you know?
Yeah, again, I'm not going to tell you when I first came to Hawaii. It was before you were born. And one of the things that I've always been frustrated with is you see these pictures of these volcanic eruptions. I go, why am I never here when that's happening? And now I am.
Yeah, it's true. We can't wait. But at the same time, where you and I sit right now, here at On the Rocks in Kona, the ocean's right with us, and it's beautiful here in Kailua Kona. There's no problem or threat or any mention or thought about a volcanic eruption. It's just something that is a part of us here on the island. We still have the beautiful sunsets here in Kona. Don't ever forget that.
I saw it last night. It's like, wow. Yeah.
Those green flashes are still here. I just think it's important for visitors and residents to remember that Hawaii is still Hawaii. The volcano's been for 35 years going now, and it's a little more active now for sure. It doesn't impact where we are now. Come surf with us, come play in the sun, sand, ocean. We're still here.
Somebody wanted further information, do a little homework. You have a one-stop shopping website, I presume?
Well, I could direct them over to the Kona Coffee Cultural Festival website, which is a fun festival in November, but really it's the gohawaii.com website. That's really the visitor captured website for everyone, and that's
so that gives them the big picture and
daily volcanic updates and things like that. Yeah.
Laura Aquino, thanks for sharing. So glad you were around and available today.
Tom, it's always good to have you here.
I love it. I don't want to go home. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Big Island of Hawaii. We'll see you here.
This program came from Hawaii.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.